This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. My name's Randy Molman. We're sitting in the McBride & Son Home Studios. You can text the show on the Lion's Choice text line, 855-282-8255. Hoff, I was going to ask you if we got any new texts on that Lion's Choice text line. We have anything good coming in?
Do you remember pool hopping when you run around your neighborhood naked, all boozed up, and hit the pools in your neighborhood? Well, I'm going to buy a few 40s of Budweiser and do a little spa hopping, getting in Frank's spa, making myself at home. I'm grimy from South County.
I'm not surprised. Number one, and number two, I don't remember doing that naked. I don't know which neighborhood grimy.
That was kind of hilarious.
I don't know which neighborhood grimy was talking about, but I grew up out in West County, the mean streets of Creve Coeur. I don't remember pool hopping naked. I do remember pool hopping though. We used to do that, but I don't remember being naked.
Randy was like, "No."
Yeah, usually the water's too cold, and well. The Gatesworth, another one of our loyal sponsors, the finest in senior living. We thank the Gatesworth, of course. Great sponsor here in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Westminster Christian Academy, another one of our fine sponsors, cultivating Christian minds and character. Visit WCASTL.org for more information. While we wait for Dave Matter, anything else that we should address on that text line, or are you getting
Stephen
some raunchy Time pictures?
No raunchy pictures. I'm sure today. Now you will, good, though. But Stephen Time says that Missouri State is the best baseball program in the state.
Missouri State's good every year. They really are. I can't argue with that. On a consistent basis, that team's good every year.
This is Nikki Bazongas. Don't let them wrong us.
Nikki Bazongas, don't let them wrong us.
Don't let them wrong us.
All right.
Huh.
Anything Nikki says that's... Was that who talked about Missouri State?
I guess so, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so what you're saying is we haven't had much... not much on that text line.
Not since earlier in the show.
I got it. All right. Brendan Schaefer's here with me. Brian Hoffman's here with me. My name's Randy Molman, sitting in for Frank Cusimano today. And Dave Matter about to join us. We're going to talk some Mizzou with him, of course. Great stuff from Harry Schrader last segment. Love talking about the tournament. Love talking about the snubs in the mid-majors. We've been addressing it all day, and I love talking to Harry about that.
You got any upset specials in your bracket? You're going to fill out a bracket, right?
Which 16 seed is going to beat the 1 seed?
Whoever Kansas is playing is always the right answer.
I can tell you that I will fill out a bracket. I am terrible at it. You know what happens to me every year? I'm not kidding. Day one of the tournament, I lose one game. I kill it. And then day two, I get hammered. And then after that, I'm terrible. I can't. So I usually start off strong. It's like that gambler thing where you gamble for the first time and you win. So now you think you can gamble all the time and then you just lose. It's the same thing. But I will say, I will be keeping an eye on every single 5-12, of course. I'll be keeping an eye on whether Vermont can upset Purdue.
Ooh, that's going to be tough, though. That's going to be real tough. They got the big guy inside, Swanigan. That's going to be a tough one.
I actually, for a moment there, I thought you were being purposely vague. Like, you were lying about your knowledge of Purdue.
No, I know that. No, I did
a
little.
Randy, that guard is a good score.
No, I did a little reading last night because I do. I take this pretty seriously, and I pride myself on being able to pick the right upsets. And if I don't, it's not the end of the world. But I do really try hard to get them right. And I was reading that Vermont doesn't have a whole lot of size, but Purdue has got that Caleb Swanigan Player of the Year candidate who's just a big force on the inside. So that might be one of the upsets I stay away from, although I did before I saw the matchup. I thought, wow, that Vermont, I keep seeing them do well. Maybe I'll pick them. But
and after talking to Harry, I guess I'll keep an eye on East Tennessee State.
Over Florida. That could be. I've been looking up some matchups potentially down the road. And if both upsets were to happen in that region with East Tennessee and UNC Wilmington, Kevin Keats' team, those guys have actually played each other already this year, and UNC Wilmington won that game. So if you're really going crazy upset in that region, Just so you know, UNC Wilmington already beat East Tennessee.
I thought I heard Hoffman say he was picking Northern Kentucky over Kentucky. Is that true?
Well, you know,
the Norse.
Yeah. In-state battle. They're gonna be ready for it. Bragging rights on the line, Randy.
Now, here's something I do when I fill out my brackets. Would you do that just because you have Kentucky losing in the next round? Would you go ahead and say, well, I might as well pick the crazy upset just in case it happens because I'm not rooting for Kentucky to go long-term anyway? That's a strategy I've used before.
You can look at that. The problem is usually those first-round games are like 1 point, right? I mean, you get 1 point for
exactly.
So you're saying exactly like that's a huge amount?
No, I'm saying it's a small amount, and so it would make sense to...
Oh, you're looking... I got you.
If you're taking... If there's a team who's going to be a heavy favorite, but you've got, say, Wichita State, you really like them to knock that team off, but you want to root for the upset anyway, go ahead and pick North Kentucky over Kentucky because you're not going to have them advancing long-term anyway, and if they do well, your bracket's shot regardless.
So as you're looking at your bracket, I asked Harry the same question. Who's your first number one seed out, or do you? Ooh. Or you're not saying all number four number ones are getting to the final, are you?
No. I've got, I do think I have pretty much chalked to the Elite Eight. I haven't really decided 100%. I'll take some time to do that before Thursday. But I feel like I agree with what Harry said that Kansas has a pretty easy road. I think a matchup with Tom Izzo and Michigan State in the second round could be interesting, but I just don't think they, despite their coach, I don't know that they have the firepower to beat Kansas. I'll be rooting for it, but I think they've got a pretty easy road, and I like to pick the 5-12 upsets a lot, and so when it comes to that spot in the Sweet 16, I normally have a 1 seed playing a 12 seed, and so I generally tend to advance the 1 seed to the Elite Eight, but I do have, I think my Final Four is going to be Duke a 2, Arizona a 2, currently, I've got Kansas in there as the only 1 seed and then UCLA the 3 seed, but that's all subject to change.
How about this? Every year, they started the first four in 2011, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Sounds right.
Every year, at least one of their first four teams has advanced to the round of 32. It's happened even beyond that. VCU was the first four team that made it all the way to the Final Four.
Yeah.
In 2011. So, I guess we can take out the 16 seeds. You'll have Kansas State, Wake Forest, Providence, and Southern Cal. Which one of those four teams advances and upsets the sixth seed?
I'm going to say if I had to pick one, it would be the winner of that Wake Forest-Kansas State game because I'm not so sure Cincinnati is as tough of an opponent. It's interesting because the two sixth seeds that are playing against, they're awaiting their opponent because those guys have to play in the play-in game. They just played each other in a conference championship for the American Athletic. It's SMU and Cincy. SMU won that game. I think SMU, both those teams are going to be susceptible to an upset because, like Brian mentioned, those first four teams get one game under their belt and then they're feeling hot. But I really like SMU, so it's hard for me to pick against one of them. I think I like Providence of the four teams, but I don't think that I want to pick against SMU, so that's kind of tough.
Providence on a roll. They'd won six straight before losing against Creighton in the Big East.
If it were Providence versus lined up to play Cincinnati, I would pick Providence easy. But I don't want to pick. I don't know if I can pick against SMU. I really like. They're an interesting team that I really like.
This is probably why I'm terrible at filling out brackets. But I look at Kansas State and I go, they don't even belong in the tournament.
And
so
I agree. But
so
it seems
I will
like,
pick Wake Forest for sure to win that game. Although any of these play-in games, you can look at their record and say, do any of them really belong?
Well, the one year that Vanderbilt, I think, was one of those first four teams, and they really didn't belong, and they ended up winning a couple of games, I think, getting to the Sweet 16. So it's kind of hard to use that metric, but it's hard not to as far as personally because you're like, man, that's a spot Illinois State should have had or whatever the case may be.
Joining us now on the Winning Streak listener line, we're going to talk some Mizzou with our own Mizzou insider and Mizzou beat writer for STL Today, Dave Matter. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Hey, good. I'm sorry that you don't get Frank today. You get me and Brendan and Brian, but we'll talk Mizzou nonetheless.
No problem. I can. I'll miss my chat with Frank. this was.
Maybe like Dave was lying to us. We'll
looks like we may have lost Dave. We'll try to get him back on the air real quick. Sorry about that, Dave. I don't know what happened. We'll talk some Mizzou with him. Hey, don't forget show content brought to you today by Bomarito Automotive Group, Missouri's number one automotive group. Also available 24/7 at bomarito.com. We haven't mentioned Rankin Jordan. They're one of our loyal sponsors. innovative leaders in physical medicine and rehabilitation, Rankin Jordan. Dave Matters back with us on the Winning Streak listener line. Sorry about that, Dave.
No problem. No problem.
All right. So, so you have, I mean, you've kind of, you haven't really been too busy lately, have you?
Not at all. No, it's been kind of nice. It's been nice and relaxing. Get a lot of naps in, the vacation time. No, it's Mizzou, so it's always like that.
Hey, Dave, I wanted to ask you. I know everyone always, you know, they want to ask you about what's going on with the Mizzou coaching search. We'll get to that in a second. We definitely in here wanted to talk a little Mizzou baseball and their 15-1 start, and of course, Mizzou women's hoops. They get selection Monday tonight, so that'll be something to look forward to. So, but before we get to all that, as a beat writer and as someone who has to follow Mizzou as closely as you have to do, can you just give everyone a little bit of insight as to, number one, how plugged in you always have to be to make sure you're on top of a story like this that's developing? Give everybody an idea, an insight as to the work you're having to do at this moment in time.
Well, I think it's always important to be plugged in. I think what's difficult and challenging is your outlet changes a lot when you're changing ADs all the time. And this is Missouri's now. Jim Stark is their third AD in 3 years, essentially. So things change. The circle of trust around that AD changes when a new guy comes in. And, you know, that makes things a little bit more difficult. People who are on the inside in the past are now on the outside. So that makes things a little more challenging. I think it makes it a little bit more exciting. You get to really dig in and try to figure things out. As they try to prevent you from figuring things out during the process. And Stark is difficult to some degree because he just keeps a very low profile. He's not somebody that is out promoting himself or, you know, trying to make friends or allies with the media. He's a really nice, really good person from what I've gathered, but he's just not interested in letting us in on the process. And most ADs aren't, but he especially isn't. So, it's always a challenge. You know, there's very good competition on this beat from other media outlets, which makes it even more exciting. So it's there's just never a dull moment.
I was going to say, during a coaching search like this, or a vacant head coaching job, especially for a program like Mizzou basketball, the amount of phone calls, emails, texts that you're sending out on a daily basis has got to be astronomical.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you want to stay on top of things. I think more than anything, I think you need to kind of filter what is just noise and what's, you know, real credible information. I mean, you know, if I could post everything I'm hearing at STLtoday.com, and I probably could do that 24 hours a day because there's just so much out there. But to me, when during coaching searches, I kind of tend to take the opposite approach, and I'm pretty skeptical of the things I hear. Maybe to a fault, just because you just don't know where agendas are coming from. You don't know how solid something is somebody's telling you. Are they hearing it secondhand? There's a lot of there's an echo chamber that goes on. People might read something on a message board. They construe that as fact, and they pass it along to a reporter who passes it along to a reporter friend. And before long, you've got a full-fledged story on your hands that there's not much to. So you kind of have to be able to measure what you think is real and what's not, and then decide what you believe in enough to report.
And this is why Dave Matter is good at what he does. I can't even imagine trying to filter through the noise to come up with anything credible that you could release or talk about or post. I mean, just the amount of work that you have to be doing right now just to get something that's credible has to be just unbelievable at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you miss out on something because you're not quite sure it's legit, and someone else maybe takes a little bit more of a gamble on it or has better information. So, you know, it's a process. You got to feel it out. It can be exciting, but it's not something you want to have to do every year.
That's right. Dave Matter joining us on the Winning Streak listener line here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box this morning. All right, well, then let's open it up. Let's talk about it. So that's Illinois' job has now opened up, and that now provides major competition in this region for that head coaching position. And we were saying earlier, Brian and Brendan and I were sitting here musing on the fact that Konzo Martin's got to be sitting back with his hands behind his neck and his feet up on his desk because he's going to get courted pretty hard, don't you think?
I do think so. I think Missouri is definitely interested in him. Jim Stirk is interested in him. Somebody that Jim Stirk listens to a lot is Tony Bennett, the coach at Virginia, who is, I don't want to say he's close friends with Konzo Martin, but they have worked together in the past, and I think they admire each other. They coach a similar kind of brand of basketball, defensive-minded basketball. So, yeah, I think he would be definitely in the mix at Missouri. I think it's safe to say he's probably in the mix for Illinois because of his background being an Illinois native, even though he's right there at East St. Louis. He's a Big Ten guy, played at Purdue. I think he's in a pretty good situation. You know, he's also not in a rush to leave Cal. It's not like he's on a hot seat. They didn't make the tournament. I'm sure they're disappointed in that there. But I don't think he has to find a soft landing right now in order to get out of that situation. So it's a really good situation for him if he's got two schools essentially bidding over him. And maybe even more. I mean, North Carolina State's open. LSU's open. There's going to be some more openings. He's got to probably capitalize on this situation.
Dave, you think there's added pressure on Missouri now to act a little more quicker in this coaching search now that the Illinois job has opened up?
Maybe, but yeah, I think they had to know this was coming. I don't think it was any surprise that Illinois was going to be in the job market. So Jim Stirk's a pretty calm and cool guy. I don't think anything really rattles him. He's got a pretty good awareness for what's going on around the nation. I think around the region, even though he's fairly new here. So I don't think this really changes their approach. They might have to spend a little bit more if they get into any kind of bidding situation for a candidate. But I don't think it adds a whole lot more pressure than what they already face. And they already face a lot.
Dave, we were talking earlier. What's stopping Missouri? And now, of course, you have to wait till Wichita State season's over. But what's stopping Missouri and Illinois from going to Greg Marshall and saying, here's $4.5 million a year, come coach us? Or tell us no.
Sure. That's a lot of money. Missouri pays their football coach 2.3. Kim Anderson was making 1.1. And granted, those were based on the market at the time. There's no reason to pay Kim Anderson more than that, coming from a D2 school. Missouri is making more money than it's ever made before as far as athletics go. They're also spending more money than they've ever spent before. So it's not like they just have, blank checks rolling around that they could spend. A lot of it will come down to what donors are willing to help out in the process. And, Greg Marshall turned down, I think, $4.8 million at Alabama a couple of years ago. So he's not going to start a conversation unless you're in that $4 to $5 million range. And can Missouri afford that? Maybe. Depends on who helps them out as far as the donors go. But that's an awful lot of money. And I'm not sure if they're really in position to just go out there and do that. And also, if you want to talk to Greg Marshall, it's not just a phone call. You have to convince him that he is the candidate, not just the number one candidate, the candidate. And that's a lot of time and resources to spend on one guy that goes through this process every year, it seems like, the flirting with schools, getting a big money figure up there, and then end up going back to Wichita State. So you don't want to waste all your time and effort on one guy who you may not get in the long run.
Dave Matter joining us, 590 The Fan, of course, a Mizzou insider and beat writer for STL Today, covering Mizzou. Dave, what any new info on Tom Crean, or it's the same stuff that we've all been hearing?
No, I can't get anything a really good read on this. Over the weekend, I think he was still in play. They lost in the Big Ten tournament in the second round. So that gave Missouri and Crean some time if they wanted to meet. And I can't say what did or didn't happen. And now they're playing in the NIT, which I think helps the process if Missouri wants to continue to pursue him, because they play on Tuesday instead of Thursday. And let's face it, the NIT is not as important. You're not as committed probably time-wise coaching in that tournament. So we'll see what happens. I just don't feel like that is maybe as strong as it was. But my thing with that, and I've kind of been told this by people involved, is Jim Stirk and Tom Crean are very different personalities. Can they coexist together? I don't know. I just don't know if that's the right fit personality-wise for this job and for this relationship.
Dave, one last question on the coaching front, and then we'll switch gears. What, let's say, no Tom Crean, no Konzo Martin, no Greg Marshall. I know you've outlined some other candidates on STL today and on these airwaves here on 590 The Fan. But remind everybody, what's the next tier of coaches that Mizzou will be looking at that you're hearing?
That's a really good question. You know, I know that they have put out feelers through their search firm in the process, early on in the process, to some other coaches. And it's hard to kind of gauge how serious they are or were about them. Chris Holtman at Butler, I don't think he's anxious to leave. He's got a really good situation in the Big East right now, but he's somebody that piques Missouri's interest. I know that Jim Sterk is interested in Scott Drew to some level at Baylor. Now, he's in a top 10 program that's in the tournament every year, but they don't get a lot of fan support there. Baylor's a mess. Their athletics department is. He's a Missouri guy. He was born in Kansas City. His wife went to Mizzou, is from Cape Girardeau. So there's some things there that I think would be enticing as a connection. I heard very early in the process, Andy Enfield out at USC. I don't know if that would generate a lot of buzz. He hasn't done a great job there, but there's a West Coast connection, which is where Jim Sterk came from at San Diego State. So I think there's some other names out there, but it's just kind of hard to get a read on how much common interest there would be between those guys and Mizzou.
Sticking with basketball, but switching to Mizzou women, the selection show is tonight, the selection Monday for the NCAA women's tournament. And what are we expecting seed-wise for Mizzou?
You know, I think the bracket experts kind of have Missouri in that 5-6 range. I think if they would have won another game or two in the SEC tournament, maybe a 4, and maybe you think about possibly hosting. There is an outside chance that they could host first two rounds and not be a top 4 seed, and that's not how the women's tournament works. But Stanford would be a top 4 seed. Stanford can't host because they're hosting some other Pac-12 event, so there's going to be a 6 seed out there, I believe, that is going to be able to host of the first two rounds. And from what I understand, Missouri has made it known that they're able to do that. They would have to move the Misha State basketball tournament around a little bit. So there's an outside chance they could host. If not, you know, I think they're going to have a pretty decent seed. They'll be a better seed than last year when they were a 10 and had to open up against a 7 in BYU. So they did some good things down the stretch to earn themselves a pretty decent spot in this bracket, most likely.
Dave Matter joining us. Dave, one question. We actually talked for a few minutes, talked Mizzou baseball. How about this? 15 straight wins after the opening day loss, and they're 15-1. And I know their schedule hasn't been, they haven't played, you know, some of the top teams in the country or anything, but still 15 wins in a row is 15 wins in a row. What are you hearing, and what's different about this team?
Well, you know, and the one loss too was Tanner Houck, their best pitcher, got a little roughed up in the first game, and they've been able to put together some really impressive starts. Their bullpen has been outstanding. With some new players there. Their lineup is a full of new additions to this team and this roster, and they're hitting the ball like crazy. Not necessarily big power numbers, but guys are getting on base a lot. And that's Steve Beezer's, that's his MO. I mean, that's what he came here with, the reputation for developing hitters up and down the lineup when he was at SEMO. And that's what they're doing so far. And like you said, the schedule hasn't been great. They have beaten a couple teams that are usually, if not ranked, they're in a regional. Houston, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi is a good program. They'll get tested more in SEC play, but 15 wins in a row, like you said, it's the longest active streak in the nation. That's hard to do, and it's been hard to do for Missouri teams in the past. They really struggled in non-conference play against these mid-major opponents in past seasons, so they never really had a whole lot of momentum going into SEC play or even Big 12 play, because they'd let up in these type of games. This team is not doing that. So I think that gives them a lot of confidence and momentum going into conference play, which starts this weekend at Alabama.
Dave, as always, thank you so much for your insight, and thank you for joining us today, even though Frank was out.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Dave Matter, everyone, the Mizzou insider here on 590 The Fan and the beat writer for Mizzou at STL Today.
Interesting tidbit about the Jim Sterk, Tom Crean.
Yeah, the personality thing. I don't think I had heard that before.
Well, I hadn't heard that either, but I did hear, and we talk about these random sources that you really don't know whether or not it's trustworthy, but it was a New Mexico basketball blog, a Twitter account, that said that the Crean and Mizzou relationship had broke down and it's not going to happen. And this is an account where you say, well, nobody's got their name behind it necessarily. It's not something that I know that I would trust. However, people said that it was something that had been, like, this account had broken some stories in the past, so it might have more credibility than you first think. And so that kind of disappointed me a little bit, but it'd be interesting to see. Crean is that kind of, you know, intense guy. We've talked about his personality and maybe with Sterk, whether or not they've talked or not, it's something that's just maybe not the right fit.
Being a beat writer for the state institution and working in the, you know, the biggest city in that state and covering this program, covering any program like that, just to separate the noise from whatever's real, I just don't envy. I mean, that's why if you're a journalist, you get into the business, right? But for me, that's why I never wanted to be in print journalism, because that's to me would be a nightmare. The whole thing would be a nightmare.
And it's only getting harder now with social media. Speaking of fake news, I actually offered a piece of fake news earlier in the show when we were talking about kind of the first four teams that have made a run. I said Vanderbilt made a Sweet 16 run, and Ben Fredrickson, who's going to be coming in for the midday grind today, texted me that it was actually Tennessee, because he was at the Knoxville News Sentinel covering that team when people were saying that Tennessee maybe shouldn't have even been in the tournament that year, but they won a couple of games and made a nice run.
They nearly made it to the Elite Eight. Was it Michigan they lost to?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but they made a really good run after playing in that first four. So that's another example. And I know VCU back in 2011 did the same thing when they made the Elite Eight, or did they even get all the way to the Final Four?
Final Four would be Kansas in the Elite Eight.
And then they lost to Butler, I guess, was the year that Butler made the title game.
So, in other words, you
I'm correcting
you
my
false.
Own fake news and saying
you,
it was Vanderbilt.
Your own fake news.
I said I had the state right, it was Tennessee, I had the conference right, but it was actually the Volunteers who made that run.
All right, Brendan Schaefer. I think
sorry,
everyone
I'm really
accepts
sorry,
your
guys. I'm sorry for doing that to you.
You know, I was upset with you, but now I'm... Actually, I had no clue. Hoffman, any last texts on that Lions Choice text line?
Well, given that this is our last segment, I should mention this is the victory lap here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Victory Men South, give them a call, 618-632-9000, 618-632-9000, or visit victorymenshealth.com if you need a little energy kick. Today's a good day for an energy kick, by the way.
It is, because it's cold and nasty outside. It's Monday.
It's going to be bad all week.
Yeah,
I'm not good on that.
Stephen Time did send something in that I'm trying to talk myself out of, actually, because it crossed my mind this morning. West Virginia to the Final Four.
West Virginia
to the
Final Four.
And the only reason why I'm trying to talk myself out, why I thought maybe and why now I'm trying to think maybe not, is because I saw West Virginia play like maybe the best 37 minutes of basketball I saw this year, but then they followed that up with maybe the worst 3 minutes of basketball I saw in that game against Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse.
Right.
So that's why I'm kind of on the fence about that, although I love Bob Huggins.
It's hard for me, too, because it's hard for me to advance those 4 seeds and 5 seeds because I'm almost always thinking upset in the first round. I think West Virginia, though, gosh, and they've got Gonzaga, who nobody, it's never really popular to pick Gonzaga to the Final Four because of the issues they've had, even as high seeds, being able to get there. I don't know, man. I've got Arizona coming out of that region.
I've heard a lot of people that I've talked to, pundits, kind of saying that Arizona doesn't have a shot.
I don't know how strongly I feel about it. And you know, they might run into a VCU or St. Mary's there in the second round. Whoever comes out of that first game, I don't know. It's gonna be tough. That's probably my hardest region to pick, I would say, is that region where Gonzaga's the number one, because I've never been big on picking Notre Dame deep, but then they made that, I think, Elite Eight run a year or two ago. West Virginia is a team that a lot of people like. They've beaten some good teams. They've played some good games. That's a tough region for me.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Any last words from either of you? Anything you want to promote? No.
Well,
you're going to be doing some broadcasting.
Yeah,
this
I'll be
week.
Doing. I'll be doing some broadcasting on Thursday night. The girls' Class 4 games we mentioned. I'll be doing that work for PrepCast. So that'll be cool if you can listen on PrepCast.com.
There you go.
Excited about that.
You're taking a 10-minute trip from Wentzville to Columbia.
Yeah. Well, 20 minutes.
20
minutes.
Okay, 20 minutes. I do want to add, you can go to InsideSTL.com and enter the 590 The Fan Bracket Challenge.
There you go.
You can pick against the hosts here and how well they do in their tournament picking. Also, you know, we mentioned state basketball, and Webster was brought up. Cartier Gordon is one of the five athletes nominated for this week's High School Athlete of the Week.
And after his performance Saturday, he had 29 in that state quarter.
Pretty good game.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
The Baker Exteriors and All-Star Trophy are proud to present the High School Athlete of the Week. This will honor the best performances across all sports throughout the St. Louis region on a weekly basis. Nominees are the aforementioned Cartier Gordon, Jayla Everett, Kirkwood Basketball, Sonia Morris, Incarnate Word Basketball, who I just assume is really good again because they're good
absolutely
every single year. Jamar Williams, Northwest Basketball, and Arthur Green, Parkway Central Basketball. Log on to InsideSTL.com to vote. I believe voting ends on Thursday, so you have a few days to vote, and then the news team goes out and then talks to the winner.
That is a loaded field right
there.
That is. It's a loaded field. If you missed any of the press box today with me, Randy Molman, sitting in for Frank Cusimano, you can podcast like the Dickens at InsideSTL.com or on iTunes. Search the press box with Frank Cusimano. I am about to leave and go grab a couple roast beef sandwiches with Swiss, head over to Frank's house, sit in his spa. So if you're house sitting
for
Frank today, make room for
me.
You need to make some room for me. I'm going to have some Lion's Choice and get a nice day spa going over there. Anyone want to join me?
A little bit of work to do, but maybe after work.
Yeah, I'll be here. So.
Maybe I'll call in from there.
There you go.
All right. This has been the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Thank you for listening. And for, I guess, what does Frank usually say?
Until we'll be back in 22 hours.
We'll be back in 22 hours. There you go.